You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Greetings and welcome. It is a Gym Class for a Thursday here in Eastern Iowa, coming your way from the Econ Nutrition Studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids at 306. Welcome aboard, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac, all accounted for and ready to go here, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Thursday. Got a great show for you. We're going to talk college hoops. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. Our Off the Glass segment, plenty to talk about. Looking ahead to Iowa and Purdue. Iowa State on the road, maybe without Taman Lipsey. We'll talk about that as the Cyclones will take on the TCU Horned Frogs in a top 25 matchup coming up on Saturday. And a look back at the week and a very tumultuous week in college basketball. We will do that coming up in just a little bit. Big announcement. No, not that announcement from Iowa City. One that was anticipated and came through earlier on today. We'll get your reactions to it on the text line here in just a little bit. As we have a new athletic director, full-time athletic director for the University of Iowa. That BNA wrap up and a whole lot more. 319-366-1600 is the text line for you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. You want to pick up the phone and give us a call, you can do that as well at 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on a overcast and starting to snow Thursday here in Eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Take it easy out there a little bit. The snow is starting to come down in the metro area and up and down the corridor, and not particularly slippery yet, but there is a chance that that might happen as we go through the evening. Mark, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and everyone out there, Scott. You set up the program well, as usual. Let's get after it.
Let's get after it. Isaac, you ready to go? No? Yes? You ready to go? What you doing over there?
Sorry, I'm working on something with
you. Watching soccer?
Some school stuff real quick.
Well, you're not watching soccer anyway.
No, it is academic stuff. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. If you got to take care of your academics before we do the sports thing, right? That's the way. Hey, I think that's the way it still works, right, Mark? That's the way it used to work, right?
Did it?
Well, I think for the most part. By the way, we got to start things off today with the announcement a little bit earlier on today. It does not impact us here in the state of Iowa. The only way it could impact the state of Iowa is if the Miami Hurricanes happen to play in a bowl game, Iowa or Iowa State, next year. But we have a first in the world of college athletics today, Mark. We have a ninth year granted to a college football player. History made today.
It's truly unbelievable. The player's name is Cam McCormick, who is 25 years old. And as you said, he will enter his ninth season of collegiate football. Here's the way it's went for him. He spent his first seven seasons, at Oregon. Redshirted in 2016, played in 17, hurt the first game of his 18th season, and received a medical redshirt, injured again in 19, COVID year in 20, injured again in 21, played in 22 at Oregon, played last year at Miami. A year or so ago, the NCAA granted him two more years of eligibility. Last year at Miami and this coming year at Miami. Between injuries happen, and COVID, 9 years, come on. Come on.
Nine years.
Well, I know some guys that spent 9 years in college, but they didn't play football.
Not you, they Isaac. Not you.
They love the frat too much to leave.
9 years. Drew Ott on line one for the NCAA, by the way, and others. Just crazy. Saw that and did not a double take. I did a quadruple take on that one earlier on today. Did not do a quadruple take on this one. The big news today, of course, coming out of Iowa City, Beth Getz has been deemed the full-time and announced as the full-time athletic director for the University of Iowa Athletic Department. She will oversee all of the sports down in Iowa City. Certainly not an announcement that caught a lot of people by surprise, Mark. I think when Beth Getz was named the temporary athletic director, I think this is the end point that a lot of people saw forthcoming, and it came to fruition today.
It did, and not surprising in the least. We have talked about Beth Getz's experience at a variety of schools, Ball State, UConn, Minnesota, on and on and on, and her experiences as a player and well-suited to become the athletic director at Iowa or a lot of other places. The thing that just it took over 5 months to name her. She was named interim AD August 2nd of 2023. And I understand the so-called search committee had to do its due diligence, and it said, you know, it interviewed several candidates, and Getz rose to the top. She was always at the top. Come on. Don't sugarcoat it. Nevertheless, she's got a five-year deal, and I think we'll do quite well at Iowa. But I don't know. It remains to be seen whether it's going to be a true home run hire. Beth Getz has a sort of embarrassment of riches in her coaching staff, from Kirk Ferentz to Fran McCaffrey to Tom Brands to Rick Heller to Lisa Bluter, women's soccer, field hockey, all with tremendous amount of success. But the thing is, people like Ferentz and Fran and Bluter and Heller all are in their 60s. I mean, Tom Brands is 55. She's going to have to make, if she continues in this capacity, some very difficult decisions. Replacing any or all of those coaches at some point for whatever reason. The proof will be in the pudding there, in my opinion.
It will be. I agree. So far, and I think Beth Getz has done a tremendous job to this point. Now, with that being said, has there been a lot of smooth waters so far in Iowa City? Absolutely. Now, obviously, the Brian Ferentz coordinator situation has been the one hiccup so far in an otherwise smooth cruise in Iowa City for Beth Getz. And I'm sure she was a part of that decision. Was she the main force behind that decision to make Brian Ferentz in the middle of the season to make that decision that he is going to be out at the end of the year, to take what Gary Barta did as far as that 25-point barrier nonsense and make that null and void? Yeah, she had a part in that. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Was she the driving force 100% behind it? No, but she had a big part in that. Right now, Beth Getz is everybody's hero. Like you said, I think she's going to do a tremendous job. She's got a great, great resume. Like you said, former athlete, former coach, has a great resume, has been on numerous committees as far as the NCAA is concerned, has had work in the Group of Five, has had work in the Power Five leagues. So it's an impeccable resume. And I believe that's why she got the job ultimately. Yeah, it was a little bit of a head scratcher that it took as long as it did. But I'm with you. The proof remains what's going to happen. The first big event or big issue or big controversy that is going to come down the line in Iowa City. And it's going to happen. I mean, it's inevitable. It's college athletics. And how are the fans going to react at that time? Right now, everything, like I said, is all peaches and cream.
It's probably not a big deal in the whole scheme of things that it took over 5 months, but other schools handle it differently. At Ohio State, Gene Smith announced his resignation effective the end of June 2024. Despite the fact Ohio State has hired its next AD, Gene Smith is still in place for another better part of 6 months, giving the new AD a pretty good head start and run for his money. Clearly, the Brian Ferentz situation was the most publicly visible decision that Beth Getz took part in. I think it was the right decision. I think it was ill-timed, poorly timed, to make that decision in midstream, but the decision was made. Iowa played out the year. Iowa had an offensive coordinator through January 1st and 2nd, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, that's basically the only I'd be a fool to think that she hasn't made plenty of other important decisions along the way. But that's the most publicly visible one in Brian Ferentz's situation. So, you can judge that as you will.
What are your thoughts about Iowa and their brand new athletic director, Beth Getz? Love to hear from you on the text line or the phone line, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. As you mentioned, they're going to be, right now, it's riches that Beth Getz is working with. You mentioned all the coaches there, some of them all timers. As far as the Iowa coaching staff, men's and women's side is concerned. But there is going to be, there are going to be new coaching hires that are going to come down. Now, whether that is 4 or 5 years down the line, it could be, you know, several of them at the same time. And that is going to be ultimately where Beth Getz is going to be judged by the fan base out there. And we don't know exactly how that is going to play out. We don't know the timetable for that, certainly. I mean, Kirk Ferentz, for example, he goes through the end of this decade. Is he going to stick around for that long? Is he going to call it a career prior to that time? Is he going to want a contract extension? Do you think he deserves a contract extension? If he gets into his mid-70s, late-70s, what have you? All decisions that Beth Getz is going to have to mull over. Now, it's not going to be 100% her decision, but she's the head of this athletic department, so it is going to be on her, certainly. What do you think? Home run hire. All the coaches, and we got a list of all of the quotes today from Kirk Ferentz to Tyler Stith and everywhere in between, Lisa Bluter, et cetera, all behind this great hire by the University of Iowa today of Beth Getz. What are your thoughts at 319-366-1600? I think she's going to be formally introduced sometime. I did see that date, Mark. I think it's next week down in Iowa City.
Yeah, the Board of Regents has to approve it yet. I think that'll be rubber stamped. But yeah, it's the great unknown with Beth Getz and what she does and the hiring process. She'll be involved in a variety of different things apart from coaching, obviously. But we just don't know. Is it going to be a home run that Bump Elliott hit with Hayden Fry when she is faced with you know, replacing Kirk Ferentz. We just don't know. And I think she's fully capable, fully equipped to make sound, proper decisions. But until it happens, I don't think we can assume that, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Beth, we just
don't know.
Yeah, Beth becomes the only female athletic director in the Big Ten Conference. Not that that matters at all. I don't think it does, and it should not matter. She's a great leader, has proven that, has been at a couple of Big Ten institutions, not only now as the athletic director at Iowa, but also served in a similar capacity up in Minnesota for a couple of years up there. And I guess got her feet wet, so to speak, and proved that she is one that is capable for this job. Again, 319-366-1600 and 0109 on the text line also agreeing with us, Mark. The only concern will be with the selection of coaches. The selection of coaches. And that's going to be coming down the line. Not sure of the timeline, but it is going to be happening sooner than later.
Yeah, well, and again, you look at some of the ages of the coaches, and I think all these coaches have a lot yet to offer. But there will come a point that she will face these decisions, and I'm sure she's already assembled a sort of a working list for each of these positions. I don't know that to be fact, but smart ADs would do that. So I think it's it remains to be seen if it's a home run hire. I think it's an excellent hire at this point in time.
I agree. I think she checks all the boxes at this point of an AD that you want. Very good with the public. Was out there in Orlando with folks. Was in Chicago for the Iowa Northwestern game. Does not hide in the background. She's out there. And I think it is a very, very good hire. Now, 1345 is a Cyclone fan. And says, part of me wants to say that, as a Cyclone fan, they believe it is a very good hire. Might do great things coming up. And, you know, Iowa State's got a top-notch athletic director right now in Jamie Pollard. And if Beth Getz does half as well as Jamie Pollard, then I think everyone wearing black and gold is going to be pretty happy.
Yeah, Jamie's done terrific things at Iowa State, and Cyclone fans will be proud of the job he has done. 2359 commenting that Iowa football needs to move on from the staff and clean house.
Tough to do that after a 10-win season. Tough to do that. But you're as good as your last games, and we'll see what happens next year. Nothing new on the Caden Proctor front, by the way, today. If you're wondering about any changes, still expected to go into the transfer portal and has not made any comments which way he is leaning if he does go into said portal out there. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. As more comments coming in about Beth Getz here, and most of them good, most of them positive right now as far as Beth is concerned. And like I said, it's very early in the process, very, very early in the process, and we're not going to know probably for many, many years exactly the legacy of Beth Getz down in Iowa City. 324, we're going to get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update for you coming up in just a little bit. Kevin Lehman, the coach, is going to be joining us as we will talk college basketball with our Off the Glass segment. Last night, wins by both UNI and Drake. Big win by UNI down in Nashville as they took care of business against Belmont. Drake with a big win on the road as well. Iowa State women fall for the first time in Big 12 play as they lose to Texas Tech last night. interesting. Did you see, Mark, that we mentioned yesterday that the Iowa State women, and if you did not hear, the Iowa State women's game on Saturday is off at Hilton Coliseum against TCU. TCU has forfeited that game as well as one other game. Did you see their record now in the Big 12? The two losses are included in their Big 12 conference record, but those two forfeit losses are not included on their overall record per NCAA rules. Did you see that, Mark?
I don't understand that, because I believe Iowa State gets a win, right?
Iowa State gets a win. They don't get a loss.
For every win, there's a loss. You know, right? I don't understand that.
I don't either, but we are not in charge of things. Hey, I don't understand how Cam McCormick is getting a ninth year of NCAA eligibility, but that's the way they look at things right there. Interesting. But, the Iowa State men are in action. We're going to talk about that coming up in a little bit, because news coming out of Ames today. We'll talk with Kevin Lehman about that. Day-to-day, Taman Lipsey is right now, according to head coach T.J. Otzelberger. Not sure if he's going to be ready to go as the Cyclones go to Fort Worth to take on the Horned Frogs on Saturday. Talk about that and a whole lot more as far as college hoops is concerned, and we'll do that after an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by the great folks at Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall. And next to the Home Depot, you can check out their entire menu online at emilshideaway.com. They got a fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room, plus catering, online ordering, and curbside pickup and delivery. Stop on by at Emil's Hideaway. What do we got today?
Well, we've whittled down the scoreboard to these items. The PGA Tour American Express Championships being held out in California. Players playing three different courses before the final round. Cedar Rapidian and Ryder Cup captain Zach Johnson on the course right now. 8 under par through 12 holes. 13 holes make it. And he is currently tied for second. The lead being held at 9 under by the immortal Ricky Hoey. Apologies there. Super Bowl entertainment continues to be announced this coming February. Reba McEntire will sing the national anthem. Post Malone will tackle America the Beautiful. And Usher will be your halftime entertainment. And closer to Scott's home, the White Sox, Chicago White Sox, are having quote-unquote serious talks about a potential new ballpark closer to downtown Chicago, according to reports. And you followed this a lot closer than I have, Scott. Good or bad?
Great. Fantastic. Sign up for it now. it's still going to be on the south side of downtown, but it's just west of Soldier Field. It's at the corner of Roosevelt and Clark. It's a green space as of right now. It's not a parkland area, so we're not taking parks away from the Chicago metropolitan area. It's called the 78. It's 2 miles closer to downtown, and one branch of the Chicago River flows on the west side. You could have left field home runs going into the Chicago River, the Chicago skyline in the right field side. I think it's a win-win for everybody. The only loss in all this would be the neighborhood right now over there at 35th Street and the Dan Ryan, Shields and Wentworth and that area. I would feel bad for those folks because they've had baseball in their backyard for eons over there. But I for the White Sox to be viable, I think they have to do this. They have a contract right now with Guaranteed Rate Field through 2029.
So it's going to be down the road. But it's possible that, do I have this right, Wrigley Field and the new ballpark would both be on Clark Street?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a long street.
It is a long street.
It's a long, long street there. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if this comes to fruition. Now, there are a lot of roadblocks. There are a lot of roadblocks to this, but I think it'd be a great, great move. And that would put basically everybody in the American League Central downtown, with the Royals allegedly moving downtown as well coming up in the next few years.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a sign of the times, but the White Sox not alone. In that regard, it's going to be interesting to follow the process. And what is it, guaranteed rate field now?
Yep.
Comiskey is called. I asked you earlier, I lose track of time, but Comiskey was redone almost 30 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah. Over 30 years ago now. Over 30. Well, yeah, you talked about Tom Brands is 55. we could go on and make ourselves feel really old at this point, but we won't. All right, 3:31, we're going to take a break, come back. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. It's our Off the Glass segment, plenty to talk about in the world of college hoops, and we'll do that when we return right here on the Gym Class for a Thursday here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
A little bit more of a mild day out there for us today as we will be working our way into those mid-teens this afternoon. However, we will be seeing a clipper system work its way through the area, bringing in some snow showers as we head throughout the afternoon and overnight, putting down anywhere between 1 to 2 inches of snowfall across the area with a winter weather advisory into tomorrow morning. After that expires early Friday morning, we'll be left with a wind chill advisory with afternoon highs right around 4 degrees. However, wind chill values will feel a little bit closer towards negative 25, but we will have some warmer weather ahead. I'm meteorologist Garrett Hyde, and that was a check of your latest Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
They say love is a universal language. Well, that's definitely true if you're talking about bacon. I mean, who doesn't love bacon? Forget the chocolates. Get the gift of bacon. It's everyone's love language. And you're going to love it that our bacon's on sale right now. With quick hot savings, we're taking bacon down to $2.49 a 12-ounce pack. Limit 2. Savings on bacon? Whoa, that's 2 love languages at once. We're multilingual like that. Quick Star. We're saving your bacon.
Breaking Benjamin. Live in concert in Cedar Rapids. With special guests, Daughtry. And Catch Your Breath. See them live at Alliant Energy Powerhouse Arena, Friday, April 5th. Get tickets now at firstfleetconcerts.com. For more, visit breakingbenjamin.com. Get tickets now.
Oh, not this song again.
Hello, Sarah. Real quick, if you had to choose, would you listen to elevator music all day or deal with payroll compliance?
Oh, payroll compliance for sure.
Wait, really?
Staying compliant is so much easier with Gusto. Gusto automatically calculates my taxes and files with all the right agencies for me.
That actually sounds great.
Hold up. Can Gusto help my small business with compliance too?
Of course they can.
Choose payroll compliance without the ups and downs. Visit gusto.com/radio to sign up for free.
If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, can I afford my son's travel hockey team? What if my daughter doesn't get that soccer scholarship? Will I be able to enjoy golf in retirement? At Empower, we know these questions can be stressful. We're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Start today at empower.com.
3:34, back with you here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. Couple of texts to get to here. 7227 is not a fan of the hire today. Beth Getz, we'll just leave it at that. A couple things on the new Sox, potential new Sox park. By the way, they're also going to have, Mark, they're planning, the grand scheme anyway, is to have a restaurants, bar, et cetera, area to be built around that as well. That seems to be the new thing when you're talking about ballparks now. Similar to Ballpark Village in St. Louis, what the Cubs are envisioning et cetera, et cetera. So that is also in the works. How will parking be in downtown Chicago and in Kansas City, says 2794? That's a great, great question. Great, great question. And 3349 asking about the Royals. Why would they leave the Park Kauffman Stadium that they are in right now? Well, they want to go downtown. It's not a done deal, but it sounds like it's 95% done that they're going to be moving downtown. It's not going to be within the next couple of years, but it will be down the line. And the Chiefs have said they are going to stay at Arrowhead, though. There were plans on them moving downtown, but they are going to stay out at the Truman Sports Complex and stay at Arrowhead Stadium. 319-366-1600. And apparently, Isaac does not like Post Malone.
No, I don't have a problem with it. More, I don't like figuring out schedules for classes.
That was what you... I thought it was Post Malone you were upset with.
No, I'm just not having a good day with making sure everything's all lined up.
You know, my only...
Making sure I can graduate.
My only rule in classes was nothing before like 8:30.
I don't even care. As long as I can get all the ones I need to get my degree, that's all I'm worried about right now. And that's a lot more difficult than you would think it would be.
I'm just happy that you like Post Malone. So
I got no issue. Destiny loves him, if you're interested.
So does my daughter-in-law. Wants to go to the race next year in Newton just to see Post Malone. So there you go. Marketing works. Marketing works. Time to talk college hoops. Kevin Lehman, the coach, is set to join us right now as it is our Off the Glass segment here on Thursdays here on 1600 ESPN. And a lot to talk about in the college basketball world. Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm just running into the snowstorm as I'm coming back from a beautiful Carbondale, Illinois, which Barry Hinson described as the San Diego of the Midwest.
Ooh, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, it is, because it was like -2 wind chill. Of course, in Carbondale, Southern Illinois, they call Cedar Falls affectionately Frost Falls, Iowa.
Oh, that's just mean. That's just mean.
Understand there's about a 40-degree temperature swing when you go from Carbondale to Cedar Falls.
Very true.
How'd you describe that comeback last night by Bradley?
I tell you what, Mark, I've never broadcast a game like that. It was Bradley was like no energy, came out sluggish, down 23 in the second half at Southern, and just started making turnovers into points, blocking shots, and Southern was stunned. They're still stunned down there at the Banterra Center. Biggest nope. comeback in Bradley history.
In the Valley, let's start there. Both Drake and UNI with road wins last night. Big one for UNI especially. They win down in Nashville against Belmont. Nate Heisey's playing very good basketball right now for the Panthers, isn't he?
He was closing in on a triple-double. 20-10 with 8 assists. And this is a UNI team quietly stringing together some wins. I believe they've won 7 of their last 8. They had the loss at home to Indiana State where they didn't play well. And unfortunately, they can't get people to come to their games there. I'm not sure why. But a big week for the Panthers to win at Murray State, one of the more difficult places to play, and also to get the win at Belmont, which they've never done. And Belmont, I had that opening game late November, opening Valley game, where Belmont came into Cedar Falls, McLeod Center, and just ran away with it. They beat UNI easily by 20. So that was a really good flip around for the Panthers to go into Belmont and get a win.
Kevin, what was your assessment after you saw what BYU did to Iowa State, winning by 15, and now Taman Lipsey may be on the shelf with the shoulder injury?
I tell you what, Mark, on my way down to the San Diego of the Midwest, Carbondale, I listened to that game. Of course, I always thought Gary Dolphin was the biggest homer of all time, but I have to now pass that on to the broadcast crew at Iowa State. I love it when they call officials by name and say you're better than that. But they got lit up from the three-point line, and they cannot make enough threes to keep up with a team by like BYU. I know it's one of Scott's favorite team, and rightly so. I didn't know this, guys. BYU now has the biggest attendance, the biggest arena in the Big 12. They seat 18,000 in Provo. But this Iowa State team, they've been inconsistent shooting threes. They still are, and it showed up in that game. BYU knocked in 13, and they struggled. They struggled to get four threes in. They just, I don't think you can survive on the road in the Big 12 unless you can knock in some threes. You got to be able to get 7, 8, hopefully 9 a game, and I just can't see this Iowa State team able to do that. Their defense carries on the road, but I tell you what, guys, the game has changed a lot this year because of the new rule in the block charge game. It's impossible, virtually impossible, to get a charge call on a secondary defender. So you're seeing high-scoring games. If you look at the point production, it's really gone up this year. And one of the reasons is because of that new rule. And coaches like T.J. Osselberger that loves that help side defense, every coach I've talked to no longer does a charge drill in their practice because it's virtually impossible to get one as a secondary defender.
Mentioned the Big 12 right now, and it is early, but of all the teams in there, and that is what, 14 of them, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, yeah, 14 of them this
14,
year.
Yeah.
13 of them are between 3-1 and 1-3. They are just going to beat each other up all through the year.
How about my UCF?
Central Florida. When I had the Texas at Cincinnati game, that's what the Texas AD, Scott, told me. He said, in a week from now, there's going to be a lot of good Big 12 teams that are going to look at their record. They'll be 1-3. Really good teams. And that's what we're seeing right now with Texas is struggling some. Obviously, with their little blow-up with USC, UCF the other night. But that's the way this league's going to be. Look at Houston, ranked number 2. They're sitting at 2-2 in the Big 12. This is a team that's still like number 1 in the net. That league is brutal. And you've got to – I think T.J. Osselberger said it best. You just can't get too upset if you drop 2-3 in a row because that's the way it's going to be in the Big 12.
Okay, if Taman Lipsey is out Saturday, what does Iowa State do now? They got to shuffle the deck chairs, certainly without their point guard.
Well, Keyshawn Gilbert can play both, so they're going to have to move him over that point position. And Curtis Jones has really struggled to shoot the basketball. He's got to get it going. He's had some spurts of it, so they're going to have to have him move into that starting lineup. And if Taman can't go, but the thing about Lipsey is he's just the complete player as far as steals, rebounds, defender. They're going to really miss him because he is the head of the snake for the Cyclones. Hassan Ward's been playing better, but their ability to create points in a league that can really score is it might rear its ugly head here. Because TCU is no joke going in to play the Horned Frogs.
Kevin, what was in the air the other night when you got coaches pushing opponent players and the middle finger being used about every other game? What was going on?
I think it's the pressure of not only these coaches and their high salaries and what we have, the parity in college basketball, and the players now faced with the NIL, and there's a little more pressure to perform because they're getting paid. You're seeing the game change right before our eyes, but and I've had Rodney Perry from Texas. I've had a couple of their games. Really nice guy. I thought that was really surprising the way he reacted. But they've lost 2 at the Moody Center. They only lost 1 all of last year. So there's a lot of pressure down there at Texas for them to win games. And when I watched them as I prepared for the Cincinnati game, I came away with the thought that this team does not have a lot of toughness to it. And I think that's starting to show with this Longhorn team.
Well, you've got Texas as of right now, and it's only, January 18th. So we've got, a month and a half, what, 6-7 weeks until Selection Sunday. But you got Texas on the ropes right now for an NCAA tournament. UCLA is beyond the ropes right now. Gonzaga might have a long, long streak. They just had their top 25 streak go away. And there's talk that the Zags are in a little bit of trouble to make the NCAA tournament at this time. So I don't know if that opens things up for two Valley teams. It should. Indiana State's 25 in the net, but don't get me started on that. We could see some new blood coming in.
Well, Gonzaga's problem is, well, BYU left that league. Their opportunity to get quad one and quad two wins is really minimal now. I think they have a non-conference game at Kentucky coming up.
Yes.
But that's like their last chance to really add that resume, and they just have not wowed people. So they're kind of right now, if you look at Lenardi, and it's, I know we're getting to mid-January, so we've got to start looking at bracketology. We've got to go into our bracketology bunkers. Lenardi's got those guys on the outside looking in as of today. So we're seeing some shifts. And here's the question. Remember the talk of Gonzaga joining the Big 12, is that still a viable option, or is this program going to kind of drift away into obscurity?
To me, I would say they're going to try, especially if they're on the outside looking in this year, because BYU left the West Coast. There's still good teams out there. St. Mary's is good, and San Francisco has been good the last couple of years, but you're right. They're missing another quad one opportunity, and they lost on the road to Santa Clara for the first time in a long time earlier on this week, and that did not help the cause.
Well, I think what's happened to them, Scott, is there's more opportunities for them to get bad losses for Gonzaga than it is for them to get quality wins because of what's happening in their league. So they may have anticipated this happening. That's why we heard all the talk about them jumping to the Big East or the Big 12, but that talk has certainly simmered down here recently. So I think Gonzaga is kind of sitting out there on an island with nowhere to go. They may have already peaked with their program. And remember, Tommy Lloyd went to Arizona. That may have really affected their ability to recruit those high-quality athletes that they had in their past.
All right, Kevin, come Saturday, no better time for Iowa fans to turn out at Carver Hawkeye Arena as Purdue comes in. 6 weeks ago, Purdue won by 21 over the Hawkeyes in West Lafayette. But Hawkeyes won 3 in a row, 6 of 7, 5 of those at home. But there's always going to be Edie factor. Purdue has had a bit of a struggle on the road. So what do you make of this game?
Well, I tell you what, when we talked about on the Black and Gold Breakdown with Kent McCausland and Rob Brooks the other day, and I said this, if you look at Purdue's losses at Northwestern, at Nebraska, it's been really outstanding guard play. Because remember, Lou Bowie went off for the Wildcats in that win. And Tominanga from Nebraska had a huge game. So if Iowa's backcourt, Perkins, Josh Dix has emerged as a player now, if they can get some really good guard play, I think it kind of can minimize what Zach Edey is going to do. And I really think they have to play behind him. They tried to front him when they went into to play in Mackey, and they just couldn't get the backside help. It's just too small. It comes over. I think you try to shove him out, and that's hard to do because he is a big, big man. And stay between him and the basket. Let him catch and see if he can score over the top of you and maybe double from certain spots. But yeah, if you're an Iowa fan, you got to go see this one. We said this 3-game swing by Iowa was going to be huge, and they got 3 wins. I thought the Nebraska game and Minnesota game, high pace of play, which Iowa loves to play that pace. Will Purdue do that? Can they get Purdue speeded up? That's the big question. Who can control tempo in this game? But hey, you got a top team in the Big Ten coming into your house. Fans got to show up. This is a chance for this. You know, we're seeing new life out of this Iowa program. I really think Dix has invigorated them, and we're seeing Perkins really come into his own. Cricky's been sensational. So it's still a team that's on the outside looking in the NCAA, but this is a big win. This could be a big win for the Hawkeyes. One of those those season-changing wins if they can get one.
New all-time wins leader in Iowa men's basketball coaching history with Fran McCaffrey passing Dr. Tom Davis after the win on Monday up at the Barn in Minneapolis. And a lot of good accolades, deservedly so, given to Fran after that game.
Scott, Mark, I'll tell you what, I remember being at that press conference, was it 13, 14 years ago, when they named Fran, and we'd just gone through those dark days of Todd Licklider, and he came in, and, you know, we've got the red-faced Fran, we've got those tirades on the side, but the guy has really coached this program up. He's locked down the borders of Iowa. He's gotten the best players in Iowa to help the Hawkeyes. His kids have not gotten in trouble. He's taken chances on a guy. You think about Peter Jock, who tore his patella, stuck with him, and there's a number of other guys. Luca Garza was an overweight sophomore in high school. He saw something in him. His ability to find what we call three-star talent, the Murray brothers, right down the list, and develop those guys into big-time players, I think has been remarkable. And he was so emotional. I thought that was a cool moment with Stephen Bartle in that post-game interview, because think about this. He got to do that with his two sons playing for him. And I said this to Rob Brooks. You got to work with your dad, Kent McClausen. You got to work with Mac McClausen. I got to work with my dad. I think that's a special thing for Fran. So, you know, cool moment for him and for his family. And we see him on the court, but I know him really well off the court because of Coaches vs. Cancer, what they've done, the V Foundation. This is a guy who's done a lot for Iowa and a lot for the community and a lot, you know, to raise funds for cancer research nationally. So my hat's off to Fran as the all-time leading scorer for Iowa basketball, all-time leading win leader for Iowa basketball.
Where can we catch your calls the rest of the week?
Well, I was hoping the Panthers would not lose to Indiana State and we'd have the you and I at Drake game on the 27th. That didn't happen. So I am at Indiana State at Murray State on Sunday, I think it is, on ESPN2 on the Deuce. And then at Illinois State right after that. And then well, I have to look at my schedule next week. I just was talking to my friend because we're trying to figure out if they're going to put Drake at UNI on. That's in February. What's happening here, Mark, with ESPN and the Valley, they have a wild card, so they're picking the games 10 to 12 days out, which is getting the best matchups, but it's making travel hell on me.
And then you throw the winter weather in there, and it gets even worse. It gets even worse.
I had trains, what is it, planes, trains, and automobiles last week on that Nashville rainstorm to Cincinnati snowstorm to get back into and try to find my car and get to Cedar Falls for that game. And then Saturday I left at 7 a.m. to beat that windstorm, because I had to go to beautiful San Diego, the Midwest, and Carbondale. My second trip down there in 4 days.
Tell you what, we are missing bracket busters right now.
Oh, yeah, man.
Somebody came up with a great suggestion for a bracket buster, and it would have been so great to help out the Indiana States of the world, the San Franciscos, and people like that, but I hope to see it come to fruition down the line, but it's not going to be this year.
Here's the problem with that, Scott. The coaches hated it because they're in the middle of trying to win a regular season title and have to step out to play and prepare for all those teams. They did not like it. I think it's a little bit like the Big 12 when they have the SEC Challenge that they play in late February. The coaches really don't like to step out of a conference race and prepare for an opponent they don't know very well.
All right.
But as fans, we want it so badly.
Kevin, thanks for the time. We'll talk next week.
All right, and I was telling Mark earlier, I left my truck at the airport this time so I could locate it easier.
Good work. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys, have a good one.
You too. Kevin Lehman, the coach, our Off the Glass segment each Thursday. We talk college hoops with you right here on 1600 ESPN. Back with the Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you right after this.
Get deals on what you need during MVP's bonus days at Lowe's. Right now, save $20 on select 5-gallon ceiling paint or primer by HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams. Plus, get 15% off and earn 3x bonus points when you buy 4 more Purdy products. Because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts if any. Valid 115 through 126. Subject to change.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Charles Barkley in a pickup game.
We'll take Barkley.
Ha! First pick! Sorry, kids!
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision?
Okay, here's the plan. Pass me the ball every time.
This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
3:56 back with you. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And then we got NBA action coming up for you a little bit later on right here on 1600 ESPN. Mark, time for Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It is brought to you by May City Bowl in Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. And fun one last night again.
Here's a good night for the Rusty Nails with a 17-13 win over the always formidable Durline Scale. We kind of got waxed the last game, but we had a healthy enough lead to go ahead and win that. The Rusty Nails now in fifth place in the Adult Evergreen League. Great series last night by Rod Bruner, 694, and our own Scott Younes with 684. Good job.
Thank you. It was a good night.
Darren Doman had a good night as well. He rolled a 280 for high game in the league. Joel Whittle of the Pin Pals right behind at 279. Chase Donner with the top series, 749. Paling in comparison to what he bowled the previous night in another league, 822.
Ooh, red hot. Red hot right there. Yes, congratulations to Joel last night of the Pin Pals. He was on fire in that particular game last night. So always good to see. And they're on fire right now as a team. So they're reminding us that. But we have the jacket.
The most important part.
The most important thing. Indeed. All right, if people want to inquire about open bowling, the Pro Shop is available. A lot of youngsters out there still in high school bowling, youth bowling, et cetera, et cetera. Great place to go and check out all the wares that they have.
Indeed. Give them a call, 362-0136, or you can visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
There you go. We'll do her again next Wednesday night. We'll have another edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 coming up tomorrow. Someone with a chance to win a $30 gift card with some divisional playoff games. We'll talk about those and preview Iowa and Purdue coming up tomorrow. Have a great night, Mark.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Spencer on Sports is next, and then Memphis and Minnesota tonight. Some NBA hoops for you.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is